Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Crusaders play here all season long. Sports Radio 1440, WVEI Worcester.
Live from the Hogan Campus Center at the College of the Holy Cross, it's the Crusaders Coaches Show, presented by JMB Financial Advisors and Stephen Lavallette, Holy Cross Class of 1978. Here's your host, Dick Lutzk.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Holy Cross Coaches Show from Crossroads in the Hogan Campus Center on the College of the Holy Cross in Worcester, Massachusetts. I'm Dick Lutz. Kyle Carter is our producer back at Sports Radio 1440 WEEA, and we've got a WEEI, and we've got a great program for you tonight. Coming up over the course of the next hour, we're going to talk men's basketball with head coach Bill Carmody. We're going to talk men's ice hockey with coach David Berard, but we're going to start off talking track with head coach Jim Cavanaugh and a couple of members of the track team, senior Lauren Rasmus and junior Alex Escada. First to coach Cavanaugh in his 48th season as a coach at Holy Cross, 17th as the Richard L. Erhern Class of 51 Director of Cross Country Track and Field. Coach Cavanaugh joined the Crusader staff in 1971 as Skip O'Connor's assistant, was appointed head coach in 1977 when Coach O'Connor retired. Coach Cavanaugh taught math and coached part-time at Holy Cross for 28 years before accepting the position of Director of Men's and Women's Track and Cross Country on a full-time basis in the summer of 1999. Which leads me to my first question, Jim. 48 years at Holy Cross. I talked to Linda George in the business office today. She's been at Holy Cross 47 years. Bill Gibbons has been at Holy Cross 38 years. Peter Van Buskirk just announced his retirement as coach of hockey after 34 years. What is it about the culture of Holy Cross that once someone comes, they don't want to leave?
You know, actually, if you asked me that question 20 years ago, I would have had a much longer answer. But to tell you the truth, it's the mission of the college. I think you buy into the Jesuit ideal of what education is all about and how important each person is to the other person, that whole mission statement of being a person for and with others. I think I really found a place at Holy Cross that I never originally thought I would find, but after being here for many years, even as a part-time coach, I've had the pleasure of working with a number of different athletic directors, and I think their commitment to the college has been superior all the way through my entire career here. And I think people are dedicated to the athletes and helping them get better. I think an instance, at least if I could get specific about track and field, we've waited for a long time for something very positive to happen with track and field. And I honestly believe just recently after this past fundraiser, there was a picture that we sent out about the new long jump, triple jump pit that's been put into the Luth Center, which is a phenomenal addition to our program, probably more so than anyone would recognize if they weren't involved in track and field. But basically, when we tried to sell it, it is going to address the issues of 20 of our jumpers on a daily basis, which is an incredible bonus for us. And of those 20 athletes, we have three school record holders. So it's a wonderful time to be addressing the issue, but also taking care of the best people on our teams.
Coach Cavanaugh at Holy Cross for 48 years. And one of the ironies, of course, is that he's a BC guy. I always like to bring that up. Coach Cavanaugh, one of only two people to be enshrined in both the Boston College and Holy Cross Athletic Halls of Fame, the other being Bob Cousy. You're into the indoor season. How's it going so far?
We're pretty pleased so far. I think the women's team is doing exactly what we expected of them. I think they're in a great position now to do well in the Patriot League, and certainly that's our major objective at this point. We do, as I said, we do have some in the sprints, the jumps, the throws. And our jumps plural would be the long jump, triple jump, and the pole vault, where we have a school record holder and the Patriot League record holder. When you go to the men's side, we're well represented in the hurdles with Brandon Thornhill and the multi-events with Alex, who is with us today, as well as the middle distance group. I think if you were to look at a strength of the men's team right now, it probably is still in the middle distance area where we have some younger people coming along. But I think the hurdles in the multi-event are well represented.
We're going to talk with a couple of the youngsters in just a moment, but I want to ask about Michael Pichet broke a triple jump record. How has he stepped up during his sophomore season?
Actually, funny you should ask that. Today they were doing a drill just a little while ago, and they had one of the jumping pits set up, and they were doing just leaps into a high jump pit. And he jumped far enough to almost completely clear the
wow.
pit and land on the ground, which
would
have been a disaster.
Yeah, that's not a good
so
thing.
He survived today, so I guess if that's the workout, we're going to change it.
BU Terrier Classic this past weekend, New England Championship qualifying performance from Garrett Fortin in the 200 meters. Tell me about that.
Yes, I think Garrett I think last year he was sick for most of the season, and we didn't know exactly how good he was going to be. He had a good outdoor season, and right now he's running very, very well. So he's our biggest force right now in the 200, 200 and 300 occasionally.
You talked about the success that the student athletes have beyond their time at Holy Cross. I know one thing that you're proud of is the academic success that they have in the classroom. Men's cross country had the best team GPA of any sport, a 3.45, both men's and women's track, both above 3.25 as well. How does the team prioritize academics, and what expectations and support are in place for them during the course of the year?
I think it really comes down to how you carry out your day-to-day and interactions with the kids. I think it becomes very apparent that we care about what they're doing in the classroom. There are conversations taking place about, you know, their schedules and, you know, do they need some more time? Did they sleep last night? Sometimes you're trying to figure out whether you can do a workout that particular day. But I think it's a day-to-day thing. It's not something you can orchestrate and just do occasionally. And I think even in terms of when they're sick, we have a few people right now that are sick and or injured, and showing concern for them when they're in the down times of their career, I think is extremely important, because once they know that you care about them as individuals, they will perform for you and for themselves, and I think it's a great marriage.
With over 100 members on the men's and women's team combined, how do you keep track of them all?
I don't think we do. I think Coach Alfonso does a tremendous job with the women. I think she has regular conversations with them. They stop by the office, and, you know, it's that daily communication that takes place. It's hard, certainly, to see 100 people a day, but at the same time, you're hoping that you make some impact on them every day by at least letting them know what the workouts are and, you know, responding to them after the workouts to let them know your thoughts about it. And that carries over into the meets, too. Some days the kids will have great performances in meets, and you have to congratulate them. And other times you have to know how to let them down and let them know that, you know, it could have been better. And I think that's a difficult position for a coach to be in, but it's an essential point. What I always say is that some people think that the coach's job is to validate the performance a kid has just had. My feeling is that's not the coach's job. The coach's job is somehow to you know, have an influence on you to encourage you to do better than you ever thought you could do. And I was fortunate enough in my own career to have coaches that really instilled that in me, and I hope I do that with some of my athletes also.
We'll find out when I ask him about it in just a couple of minutes. You've got the New England Championships coming up this weekend at the Reggie Lewis Center in Boston. What are your expectations?
The teams, I think, in both cases, we've got some people that are hurting at this point, so I don't think we'll do as well as we thought we were going to do at the beginning of the year. But again, on the women's side, we're going to have some people that are going to be right up there in the scoring places. On the guys' side, the ones that I mentioned already, the triple jumper Mike Pichet should do pretty well, and we're hoping that Alex will get some points out of the multi-event. We'll have some scorers, but actually, in some cases, we're resting people now to get them ready and healthy for the Patriot League in a couple of weeks.
Lauren Rasmus is a senior from Atlanta, Georgia. It says she specializes in long sprints and hurdles, but as I look last year, you competed in the high and long jump, shot put, javelin, indoor pentathlon, heptathlon, 60, 100 and 400-meter hurdles, 500 and 800-meter runs, and 4x400-meter relay. What did you do in your spare time, Lauren?
Oh, sleep, rest.
Now, how do you determine which events to specialize in?
I think that I have to accredit a lot of that to Coach Alfonso. coming in, I had done one multi-event in high school, and she was pleased with the overall score of that, and so decided to kind of give me a chance to improve upon that in the heptathlon and pentathlon. So I was fortunate enough to do that for 2 years. But it wasn't until my sophomore year that we kind of started to realize my body might not have the stamina to do that for 2 more years. So she never gave up and just continued to find a place for me, and realized that my open 200 would probably translate well back in a transition to the 400. So went back to my roots in the 4 and 400 hurdles.
You are the captain of the team of 70-plus members.
Yes.
I'm sure there are a lot of different personalities and a lot of different emotions that are experienced during the course of the year. How do you deal with the culture? What is the culture like?
I think the culture is a family, and I think that's something that we pride ourselves upon is delegation of responsibilities. There is nothing that we expect seniors or upperclassmen to do that we don't think that the freshmen and the underclassmen can also do. So just fostering open communication and giving everyone a rightful spot and, you know, excitement and coming to practice every day.
You told me you're majoring in political science and studio art at Holy Cross. What are your expectations after graduation?
I'm very interested in sports marketing, so I'd like to stay in the industry of sports. It's something that I've always loved, and the atmosphere of team and just being with those people and finding something that can foster a community is something that I'd like to continue on in my professional
Everybody
career.
Wants my job, Jim.
Yeah. You know
that? Everybody's after my job. Alexander Escada is from East Greenbush, New York. Yay for Alex. You brought a cheering section with
Apparently.
You. Apparently. You ran the 55-60, 100, 1,000, and 1,500 meters along with the 55-60 and 110-meter hurdles for the Crusaders. You do run in multi-events. How do you train from all?
Just trying to fit all the different events into 1 week, and just trying to find a good amount of time to practice each. And when it comes time to compete, just trying to put it all together.
Time management is something I always ask students about. Give me an indication of how you manage your time.
Manage my time. So every day is just normal class during the day. And then once I get to practice, I'm totally dialed in on practice and track. And then some days after practice, we'll have lift. And then immediately after that, just homework, sleep, rinse and repeat from there.
Do you have a regimen that you go through pretty much?
I'd say yeah. I mean, we have lift Monday, Wednesday, Friday, practice Monday to Friday, and then weekends are meets. So, I mean, it's pretty much the same thing week in, week out, and just going from there.
Sixth best heptathlon score in Patriot League so far this year. You've also run career bests in the hurdles and heptathlon this indoor season. How have you improved over the years? How do you project your improvement? How has it been going for you year after year?
I think you get better just by honestly sticking to the training. There's a reason these coaches for Holy Cross have been here for so long, and that's because they know the training and they know all about the sport. So I think as long as you believe in the training and you continue to do the workouts, you're just going to continue to get better.
Lauren, how do you manage your time?
Oh, I am a type A. I make a list for everything. So from when I wake up in the morning to when I go to sleep at night, it's all written on a printer sheet of paper.
And you follow it pretty religiously, do
I
you?
I do.
It's pretty impressive if you can do that. I've never been able to do that. Alex, you're an economics and math major at Holy Cross. You are a senior. What do you plan to do when you graduate?
Hopefully just find a fulfilling career in maybe the accounting or financial realm, and just something that I can make a lifelong career out of. So,
do you both plan to run forever? I mean, as long as it's something that you hope to do for
I don't know if my body will hold up.
if my body allows it, then yes.
Jim, tell me a little bit about these kids.
I think there's a special place in my heart for that multi-event person because I actually competed in the decathlon winners in college, and I think it's just the dedication they bring to the table every single day that is absolutely amazing. And I think when you add to that the rigor of the academics here at Holy Cross, it really is a special individual. As I preface the comments today, what keeps a coach at Holy Cross, I think, is the quality of the individual. And I think it's the dedication they have as athletes, but it's also that desire they have to be the best they can be in the classroom as well. And I think you mix all that together and you come up with a pretty coveted person. And I think quite often, when they graduate from Holy Cross, they stay connected to the school, which is another remarkable thing about Holy Cross. It's the loyalty that's developed while they're here. And I think they're both extremely good examples of that.
Jim Cavanaugh, Lauren Rasmus, Alex Escada, thank you very much. Best of luck to you the rest of the year.
Thank you.
Patriot League tournament coming up. Hang in for a second. Let me read this, and then we'll take a break. Whether it's a checkup or follow-up or a what's-up, making a doctor's appointment has never been easier with UMass Memorial Healthcare. Ready when you are, 24/7. The care you need with the convenience you deserve. Current patients and new patients. Visit umassmemorial.org/appointment or call 855-UMASS-MD to schedule care from anywhere. UMass Memorial Healthcare is the official sports medicine provider of the Holy Cross Crusaders. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Bill Carmody and Pat Benson of the basketball team after this as we continue on the Holy Cross Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI.
JMB Financial Advisors are proud to be a part of Holy Cross Athletics. JMB Financial Advisors, LLC, providers of intelligent capital for real estate investors, developers, and owners. JMB Financial Advisors can be found on the web at jmbfinancialadvisors.com. Or you can contact Steve Lovelett, Class of 78, the College of the Holy Cross, by email at lovelett@jmb.com.
Some doors are massive. Some are tiny. Some are inspiring or grand. Others, not so much. At Unibank, a door is the path to a family's dream home. It's the face of a small business. Open a door at Unibank and you'll find a unique place. A bank that listens to you and finds answers. All to help you write your own success story. Unibank. Bank different. Bank unique. Member FDIC. Member DIF. Equal housing lender.
There's never been a better time to switch to Sprint. Right now through September 20th, bring your number and get $100 for each leased phone. That's right, $100 on a prepaid MasterCard from MetaBank member FDIC for each leased phone when you switch a phone number over to Sprint. Register for the card online and you're good to go. And with Sprint Unlimited Basic, you'll enjoy special features that include TV from Hulu, mobile hotspot, and DVD quality streaming. Visit Sprint.com/unlimited or call 1-800-SPRINT-1.
One Hulu Limited commercial plan per account. Coverage and offer not everywhere. Video streams up to 480p. Speed maximums, use rules, and restrictions apply. Card terms, conditions, and expiration apply.
Winter will be back sooner than you think. If you were left out in the cold last winter, now's the time to think about making the switch to a home heating provider with over a century of experience in Worcester, C.K. Smith Superior. They delivered in the worst of conditions last winter. Call them today and ask about how they can keep you comfortable this winter. Call 508-753-1475 or online at ckSmithSuperior.com.
If you haven't heard the news, all-you-can-eat pizza and pasta is back at Papa Gino's for just $5.99. Yum. That's all-you-can-eat cheese slices, pepperoni slices, and pasta marinara. That is so good. All for just $5.99 per person every Sunday through Wednesday from 4 to 8 p.m. when you dine in. Yum. It is a deal so good, you may have to break that rule about talking to a mouthful. All-you-can-eat, just $5.99 at Papa Gino's. Pizza the way it should be.
We now return to the Holy Cross Crusaders Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI with your host, Dick Lutsk.
Don't forget, Holy Cross women's basketball team will be back in the Hart Center this Saturday, February 2nd, when they take on the Lafayette Leopards at 1 o'clock. For more information and to secure your tickets, go to GoHolyCross.com. We continue on the Holy Cross Coaches Show from Crossroads in the Hogan Campus Center, and we're talking men's basketball with the head coach of the Crusaders, Bill Carmody, and senior Pat Benson. And first to Coach Carmody, I want to thank you for bringing me in off the ledge this past Saturday. After the Army game, I was on that ledge, but after the Navy game, I'm back inside, and I appreciate that. It was a great performance on Saturday against Navy, a great crowd at the Hart Center, and a really big win for Holy Cross.
Yeah, I don't even know how you were on the ledge Army game because they beat us pretty soundly. It was a really good game for us, which one that we needed, and certainly that homecoming crowd and the support, propelled us a little bit. I mean, it always helps, and it just felt really good. Since during December, no students here, nothing going on too much, and this was a real change.
Nice atmosphere, Patrick, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's always nice to have the home crowd behind you, especially for homecoming, just with the alums in the building and all our friends back from winter break. You know, like Coach mentioned, it's a little quiet in December and January, but it's nice to have the students. Nice to have the students back in the crowd.
Well, tell me about the games against Navy, and they beat us down there on a buzzer beater at the end, but we came out and shot the lights out early on. How do you explain from game to game? It's up and down and up and down. Some games they shoot lights out, some games they don't. And it was they were on fire in the first half against Navy.
Yeah, we really came out. I think we were all disappointed in our game down there at Navy. And, you know, we just came out with a little pep, and the ball was moving real nicely and different guys. You know, Jacob really was shooting the ball real well in that first half. But, you know, one guy doesn't necessarily make it. It's when the ball's moving around and the guys are moving, someone's going to get open. And that happened that night. We really came out sort of on fire.
Did you do anything differently defensively against Navy this time compared to what we did in Annapolis?
I think we played a little more a 1-3-1 zone. We went sort of went back and forth between our normal zone and that. And I think that might have helped us a little bit. And you know, it sort of slowed them down a little bit. Not that they play real fast, but it made them hesitate a little bit on offense.
I know one of the statistics you like is the assist statistics. 19 assists on 24 made baskets against Navy means they were distributing the ball very well.
Yeah, and I think we had 6 turnovers. And that's probably 3 of them were in the last minute and a half. So, I thought we executed real well. And, you know, it's true what you said, that guys were looking, you know, for each other and, you know, find it. And the guy that had the ball at the end was putting them in.
Some of the Patriot League stats that are pretty impressive. You're first in the league in assist-to-turnover ratio, first in the league in assists, first in the league in turnover margin, second in the league in block shots, scoring defense, and three-point field goal percentage, and third in the league in overall field goal percentage and steals. Those are pretty impressive statistics to be in the top 3 in the category in the league in all of those stats.
Yeah, but you know the one stat I'd like to be in the lead in?
I think I'll bet I know what it is. You tell me which one.
Win-loss.
Win-loss. That's the one that counts.
We've lost a few real close ones that I think we wish we had back, but, you know, it's still haven't played half the season yet in the conference, and so there's a lot of games to be played.
You look at the conference losses that we do have, and you know the overtime loss to Lehigh. You've got the overtime loss to Loyola. You can reverse those two. Those are coulda, woulda, shouldas, and things might be altogether different. But as you look at the Patriot League standings right now, does anything surprise you? You've got Lehigh, Bucknell, and Army on top at 6-2. They lead the way. Does that surprise you at all?
Well, I think Lehigh and Bucknell were thought to be right up there. At the beginning of the year, along with Colgate. And so it really doesn't surprise me too much. And usually the teams that have a lot of veterans back, they, you know, seem to rise to the top. Now, as the season progresses and some of the younger guys get more and more minutes, sometimes that changes.
Matt Faugh played only 5 minutes against Navy the other day. He tweaked his ankle against Army the game before. And, of course, Patrick started in his place. Does that change your approach when you have to make a change in the lineup like that as to your rotation and the way you approach the game?
Well, certainly, you know, we have two big guys. You know, it's a big guy. You know, Connor Nego's been out for a while, and now Matt is out. And so it changes things a little bit. But, you know, in practice, you know, Pat's playing all the time. And he's just, even though when he's coming off the bench, he's probably playing close to 30 minutes, I would say. A game, and so I don't think it changes the dynamic too much. We work with that group a lot in practice.
When Pat's on the floor, it's a little bit of a different look, though. His pesky defense, his quick hands, his streaking up and down the floor as he does, that changes the way you operate a lot when he's on the floor.
Yeah, well, you know, you sort of have two guys that can run the show with he and Caleb, and you know, he knows the game sort of inside and out. And he actually had a very good year. I mean, he's not throwing the ball away, which he loved to do as a freshman sophomore. And you know, he's you know, he plays to win. He plays to win. So his assist ratio, assist to turnover ratio, I know is very good. And I used to call him like an Energizer Bunny, but now he's way past that. At this point,
12-9 on the season overall. That's equaling the win total from 1 year ago. We still got a long way to go this season. As you look ahead down to toward the finish line, do you have any expectations as you how you want to see the team finish and what you're looking for over the last part of the season?
Well, you know, you're trying to get better all the time, but right now, the way the schedule is, you just focus on the next game. So we're thinking about tomorrow at BU, and you don't really get too – I don't get too far ahead of it, and you try not to let the guys either.
BU is – let's see. BU holds a 4-2 edge in the series since the Turnpike Trophy series began. It's part of the Turnpike Trophy tomorrow night. What about BU? What do we know about them? They've been struggling a little bit too.
Yeah, they're big. They're real big and strong and just a very physical team. And, you know, they've lost a few, like, shooters in the last couple of years. And so they're playing a little differently. They used to come after you a lot, overplay things, you know, fire the ball down court, get a lot of three-point shots up. They still shoot the ball, but they're not pressing you defensively, and they're just a little more patient on offense.
Pat Benson is a senior from Wellesley via Worcester Academy. Both parents, Holy Cross grads. His mother played on the women's basketball team, father a manager for the men's basketball team. A little pressure to come to Holy Cross from home?
No, not at all.
No?
I had a comfort level here, but no pressure.
Your sister plays at Harvard. She's a junior guard on the Harvard basketball team. Was there some pretty good games of horse back home when you were kids growing up?
Not really. She's a much better shooter than I am, so I couldn't really keep up with her too much.
You've played a big role in the team's involvement, of course, and you're also involved with the St. John's Soup Kitchen in Worcester. Tell me about that role that you play with that organization.
That was an experience I started while I was at prep school at Worcester Academy. It was just something that our coach wanted us to do to help to give back to the community, a good experience to help the homeless in Worcester. So it was just something that I continued while I was at Holy Cross, and I eventually ended up bringing some of my teammates with me, and then people from other teams started to join and ask more about it. So it's just a rewarding experience that helps both us and the homeless community here in Worcester.
What do you do?
We basically just serve them food. My station is always the oatmeal station, so I make the oatmeal. They're always asking for extra brown sugar and stuff. So.
And you give it to them, of course.
Oh, of course.
Absolutely. Coach Pat is one of your co-captains along with Jehiva. What about the role he's played as a captain of the team?
What is this captain stuff?
Co-captain.
Who said that?
Well, they meet with the officials before every game.
Oh, really? Yeah, I haven't had captains or co-captains or tri-captains in 20 years, you know.
I see them go meet with the officials before every game. I'm assuming that they're the co-captains. No?
Well, they're seniors, and they just said, that's what we're doing.
All right. They named themselves as captain?
Yeah, something like that.
I gotcha. What about the role that they play as senior leaders?
Okay.
How about that?
I like that.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that just by the way they play and how they go about their business, you know, day to day in practice. And, you know, when you're going from October, you're going 5 months here, and you become very weary, and not necessarily just your body, but, you know, from the neck up. And both of those guys, they come to practice every day. I mean, Pat hasn't, you know, he might have like one or two bad practices a year. And that's saying something.
What about Coach Pat? Tell me about Coach and your relationship with him in the 4 years that you've been here.
Coach has inspired me a lot. Coach is a perfectionist. That's one of my favorite things about him. No matter how well we're playing or how poorly we're playing, it's the same coach every day. He always demands the same stuff of us, like crisp, perfect offense, good defensive rotations. I think all those stats that you read off that were first and second, and I heard assist to turnover, assist, it's all a testament to Coach. That stuff he harps on every day about taking care of the ball, sharing the ball, stuff that any good coach demands. But he certainly is a perfectionist when it comes to those aspects.
You're an English major. This is your senior year. What does the future look for Pat Benson?
Hopefully I can get into coaching somehow. I don't know the path that I'm going to take, but hopefully.
Coach is shaking his head over here.
Well, you know, Pat's a very good student, and he can do anything. You know, this Holy Cross degree, he can do whatever he wants to do.
And you're saying, why would he want to get into this crazy racket of coaching?
He's a smart guy. So what are you, crazy? You know. But anyway, yeah, you go after what you want to do, and so he'll make that decision. But he's very capable in a lot of fields.
All right, I always ask you before every game. I'll ask you again tomorrow night when we talk. But tomorrow night, Boston University upstairs on the roof at BU. What are keys to the game tomorrow night to beat the BU Terriers in Boston?
You know, stay like within 10 rebounds of them, I would say. No, I'm serious. I'd say stay within 10 rebounds of them and then make shots. And we're going to get good shots, and then we just make them. And, you know, I'd like to see make it sound more complicated, because then you think that I'm special. But that's it.
I do think you're special. You know that.
But, you know, you pass the ball around. Every team does. And at the end of the clock, someone's got the ball, and you got to put it in. And the good teams put it in more than the other teams.
We've had some games where we've had some great opportunities, great plays, great shots, and just not finishing at the end, missing layups, missing shots that are makeable shots. We're going to get into a situation where we're going to start making those shots and winning some games, because those shots are there, the plays are working well, the guys are getting open, and You got to make those shots, like you say. And if we make those shots, we win.
Yeah, I mean, that's true with every
simplistic
team.
I suppose.
A lot of teams, you know, miss this shot, miss that shot, the good shots. I mean, teams that we play, they run some real nice stuff, and then they miss. But, yeah, you just hope that you continue to work at it and, you know, plug away sort of. Because we have talented guys, and then just if you're a hard worker and you're talented, generally good things happen.
Pat, in summary, 4 years at Holy Cross, it flew by, I'm sure. This is your senior year. Tell me about your experience at Holy Cross in general.
My experience here was a great one because combined, like, the best basketball experience I could have hoped for with a great academic experience. Just the balance of those two really paid dividends for me in teaching me just values about life, like discipline, hard work, building a strong character, doing the right thing. So, yeah, it was a pretty rewarding and enlightening experience.
Pat, Bill, thank you very much. See you tomorrow night in Boston. Let's beat BU.
Sounds good.
Bill Carmody, head coach of the basketball team with senior Pat Benson. We will remind you that the Holy Cross men's basketball team will be back at home next Wednesday, February 6th, playing host to Army on Military Appreciation Night. For more information and to secure your tickets, visit GoHolyCross.com. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk men's ice hockey with Coach David Berard when we continue with the Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1440, WEEI, and Facebook Live.
Wash your car every day with the Unlimited Wash Pass from Golden Nozzle, starting at only $14.99 per month. The Unlimited Wash Pass from Golden Nozzle is quick, convenient, and can be used at any Golden Nozzle location across New England. Sign up in person or online at GoldenNozzleCarWash.com.
We love social media, maybe even more than your aunt, who never stops commenting on your pictures from 3 years ago. But at KM, we still prefer our experiences to be firsthand. So we're lighting up the grill, firing up the good times, and social networking on the lawn for a change. Family crafted since 1909 in Chelsea, Mass., we've been bringing people together for four generations. So pick up a pack or 10 of KM Franks at your grocer today. KM, together we grill.
Silver Fox is proud to be the transportation partner for Holy Cross Athletics, carrying student athletes to New York, Pennsylvania, Washington, D.C., and throughout New England. Since 1978, Millbury-based Silver Fox is the area's leader in tours and chartered coaches. Their drivers are characterized by their friendliness and enthusiasm, and your safety is their top priority. From local destinations to Canada, Florida, and as far west as Chicago, Silver Fox is your group transportation solution. SilverFoxCoach.com.
Hi, I'm Gordy Lockbaum with the Sullivan Group. At Sullivan Insurance Group, we have one game plan. Provide our clients a full line of insurance products and risk management services to allow them to make the best decisions in managing risk. We've been committed to providing exceptional customer service through honesty and respect for over 50 years, specializing in insurance and risk management for individuals and businesses. Give us a call at 1-800-649-1553 or visit us online at sullivangroup.com.
Wash your car every day with the Unlimited Wash Pass from Golden Nozzle Car Wash. The Unlimited Wash Pass is quick, convenient, and can be used at any Golden Nozzle location across New England, including Grove and Lincoln Streets in Worcester and Green Street in Milford. Visit GoldenNozzleCarWash.com.
It's time to join the millions of people using Zoom video conferencing. Turn any size conference room, huddle room, or executive office into a Zoom room with flawless HD video, crystal clear audio, and instant wireless sharing. It'll even work with your existing hardware. Start your meetings with a single touch or use Zoom's new voice command feature. Hey Zoom, start meeting. Huddle happy. Visit Zoom.us to set up your free Zoom room trial today. That's Zoom.us. Zoom video conferencing.
You're listening to the Holy Cross Crusaders Coaches Show with Dick Lutz on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI.
And we're back at Crossroads in the Hogan Campus Center with our Holy Cross Coaches Show. Before we talk with David Berard, let me tell you a couple of things. Sophomore Nathan Kramer has been named the C.K. Smith Superior Crusader of the Week for competition from January 21st through the 27th. Kramer helped the Holy Cross men's swimming and diving team to a 175.5 to 119.5 victory over Springfield in its only meet last week. The Holy Cross baseball team will host its 15th annual leadoff dinner this coming Saturday at the Hogan Campus Center. The dinner will begin at 6, features 8-year Major League Baseball relief pitcher Adam Ottavino, a Northeastern grad who just signed a big contract with the Yankees, Brian Abraham of Holy Cross Class of 07, currently the director of minor league operations for the Red Sox, will also be recognized at the alumni as the alumni honoree. Details available for that event at GoHolyCross.com. Now let's talk hockey with the head coach of the Holy Cross men's hockey team, David Berard. Haven't seen you in a while, David. Nice to see you again.
Haven't been asked to be on your show.
So now I am.
I'll ask
That's why we're here.
I'm asking and you're here.
Yes.
Tell me about the season to this point.
It's been, you know, wins and losses. It hasn't been what we expected or what we had planned on, but it's a long year, and we're continuing to get better every week. And we've gotten points in four of the last five league weekends, and we're playing better every weekend. We got 5 weekends left, and our goal is to be playing our best hockey come the end of the year and put ourselves in the best possible position going to the playoffs, and then hopefully be playing our best hockey of the year at that point. And then from there, once you get to the playoffs, it's a new season. So that's what we're looking forward to.
Coming off a win over Sacred Heart, a split of a weekend series with them this past weekend, winning game 2-4-1. Tell me about that victory.
Well, it was good. It was good because the last 4 weekends that we've gotten points, we've actually won on the Saturday night. And when you lose on Friday, it's really tough to come back and bounce back and win on Saturday. But we've been able to do that. That's one of the things that I'm really optimistic about with our team is that we have that bounce back ability. And, you know, Friday night, it was a disappointing night. It was 1-1 with 9 minutes left. And we ended up losing 5-2. So it wasn't really the last 9 minutes we were looking for. And then it was a quick turnaround. We played at 2 o'clock on Saturday, and we really came out. We established our game right away. We scored the first goal, and we added a goal in the second, then added a goal early in the third. And we just played a good, hard road game, and we made critical plays at critical moments. We got good goaltending. Our penalty kill was excellent. And those are all things that you need in order to win a game on the road.
All the stats that I've just copied down from that game, you just mentioned a lot of them. Anthony Vincent had a goal and an assist in that win on Saturday. Tell me about him.
Well, he's a freshman, and he's really a heart and soul kind of guy. And when we recruited him, we expected him to be an energy guy for us, play hard minutes, play physical, get in people's faces, but just, you know, block shots and do all little things that are necessary to winning. And what he's been able to do is that, but he's now started to generate offensive chances for himself or his line mates, and he has 15 points on the year, which is tremendous for a freshman, and we still have 10 games left, and he's probably exceeded our thoughts on what he'd be able to accomplish offensively as a freshman, but it's all a result of the way he plays, which is heart and soul, and does anything for his teammate, does anything for his team to win, and he's been an integral part of us having a bump in the second half of the year.
9 of Vincent's 15 points in the last 9 games, which is pretty impressive. Many of the other freshmen have had milestones in the second half of the year. Connor Jean, Matt Slick scored their first goals as Crusaders at Mercyhurst in January. Ryan Liebold has seen recent production scoring at Sacred Heart this past weekend. Talk about the freshman class.
Well, we needed them to be a class that would come in and make an impact just because we lost 8 seniors last year, and all of those guys played big minutes for us, and they were guys that played 120 to 130 games in their college career. So when you lose them, you need the new guys coming in to make an impact. You know, it's a combination of the guys returning, you know, maybe some guys assuming some different roles than what they had. But then you're going to need freshmen to step up. And, you know, it's been they've done a good job. And early in the year, you know, some of them struggled because it's a new level. We're asking different things than maybe what they were asked for. You're playing against better players, older players, tougher players, faster players. And there's always that adjustment period. But I think one of the reasons why we've played better after Christmas is because those guys got more comfortable with what we're asking. They got more comfortable with Division I college hockey. And now they're starting to produce offensively because that robotic stage, they're kind of out of that, and they're more into just playing. They understand what we're doing.
The win over Sacred Heart, 4-1. Eric Gordon, your goaltender, had 33 saves. Talk about his play of late.
He's been good, and he's getting better and better. And, you know, early in the year, he's kind of thrust into the lineup because Tommy Nixon got hurt second game of the year. And, you know, self-admittedly, he probably wasn't ready to play those amount of minutes right away. And there were some nights where he wasn't as good as he wanted to be, and maybe cost us games, or maybe it wasn't the performance he wanted. But over the course of time, he's gotten better and better, and now every night he gives us a chance to win. And there's been a couple games he actually won us the game because he played so well. And when you have good goaltending, you can beat anyone. And we've been getting more consistent, high-quality goaltending, and that's also a reason why we've been able to have some success here in the last 4 or 5 weeks.
You were a goaltender at Providence College. Yeah. I've been told that goaltenders, by their very nature, are a little eccentric, a mm-hmm. little odd. Is that true?
I think that's a rumor. I what I would say is goalies are usually the best-looking guys on
the
team. They're usually the smartest. They're usually the most social. No, but I think goaltenders get the knock, you know, because typically it's a mental game. Being a goalie is big part of it's mental. Big part of it's like, you know, belief in yourself. Big part of it is staying in the games. Big part of it is you got that pressure on you that you're the last line of defense. And, you know, the forwards could make a mistake. The D could make a mistake. But then it's on the goalie. And I think when you get into the position as a young player, you know, you take that on, and that's kind of what motivates you because all the spotlight's on you. So, you know, goalies typically have superstitions, and goalies typically have a certain way of doing things, and maybe a little bit more so than forwards and D. But in my experience coaching and playing, there's a lot of crazy forwards and crazy D out there too. You know what I mean?
What was your superstition as a goaltender? Did you have any ritual that you went through day to day before a game?
Yeah, like I mean, when I was in college, I had a routine, like when I would nap during the day on game day, and you know, but when I was in high school, I probably had a little bit more because I was a little bit younger. So I wouldn't talk to anyone. I would take a nap at a certain time, and then I wouldn't talk to anyone in my family until after the game. And when I'd leave my house, I'd have to go out the back door around a certain bush and then into the car, kind of a roundabout route. But, you know, it seemed to work, and that's what I did.
I rest my case.
Yeah.
Penalty kill against Sacred Heart. 6 for 6. That's pretty impressive.
No, it was good, and it's been part of our game that we've been working on and we spent a lot of time on over the course of the year. Early on, we weren't necessarily killing the way at the percentage that we wanted to, but more as of late, we've been, that percentage has gone up, and it's really important part of your game, especially when you're on the road as much as we've been, that you have a good penalty kill, because you know, home teams are going to get some power plays, and if you can have good goaltending, good penalty kill, that's usually a pretty good start to a recipe that's going to lead to a win. And you need opportunistic goals, and we got that on Saturday, and it was a good team win.
Reading the Sacred Heart game, I saw one oddity. Sacred Heart scored their goal 6-on-5. They pulled the goalie.
Yeah.
They pulled the goalie with 7 minutes to go in the game. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, well, I've seen it a couple times, and they were down 3-0, and it's a league game, and it's 2 points, and everyone's fighting for points. And I think they just figured, hey, let's pull a goalie, maybe get Holy Cross a little bit off, and maybe we can get one, and then get some momentum, and then maybe get another one. And there was a game I watched in the NCAA tournament 3 years ago, Providence versus Miami, and it was in the regional down in Providence, and Providence was up 6-2 with 9 minutes left, and Miami pulled their goalie.
With 9 minutes.
9 minutes left. They pull their goalie. Nothing happened for about 3 minutes. Then Miami scored to make it 6-3. Then they went 5-on-5. They pulled their goalie again. They made it 6-4.
Wow.
Then they pulled their goalie again, made it 6-5.
Oh, wow.
And then they had an open look to tie it, and they missed. And then Providence finally scored the empty netter with like a minute left. So, like, it's happened. And but 3 goals, it's a lot to overcome. And we gave up a goal, but then we scored right after. So that pretty much put an end to it.
You've got a chance to make up some ground over the course of the next 3 weeks with 3 weekends of home games. Army, RIT, and Robert Morris come to town over the course of the next 3 weeks. Great opportunity for you to pick up some points.
Yeah, every weekend's a great opportunity for us. And, you know, we've been talking about playing playoff hockey for the last couple of weeks, and that's the kind of mindset that we're going to have the rest of the season and the rest of the regular season. And, you know, we have to really focus on taking one game at a time and putting all of our energy and effort to try to win that game and stick with our process and our game plan. And if we can do that, then the results will follow. And then we'll just try to do that for the next 10 regular season games. And I feel if we play a certain way and we play the way that we're capable of playing, that we'll have the success that we want. And then we'll start to climb the ladder, because all those teams that we're going to be playing are all teams that we're battling with. So it's almost like four-point game. So we'll just take it one game at a time and see where it ends up in the next 10.
I printed out a sheet with your scoring leaders, which I can't put my fingers on right at the moment, but Johnny Coughlin is leading the way. Tell me about his play.
Well,
so far.
He's been a senior defenseman, and, you know, it's a little bit unusual to have a defenseman leading your team in scoring, but he's been really consistent throughout the course of the year. He plays a lot of minutes for us. He probably plays, you know, between 25 and 27 minutes a night. He kills penalties. He's on the power play. He's plays in every important situation. And, you know, he's really a guy that, for a bigger guy, he's really elusive and he's really good with the puck, and he's got a great shot, and he got a great one-timer. So on a power play, he's really effective. But he can beat some guys at the blue line, the offensive blue line, and create opportunities for himself. And he sees the ice really well, and he's just been a beneficiary of some good plays made to him and him making some good plays to some guys around the net.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to bring up Jack Sirowick, a junior from Louisville, Kentucky, a member of the Holy Cross men's ice hockey team. We're on the Holy Cross Coaches Show. We're at Crossroads in the Hogan Campus Center. We will continue after this on Sports Radio 1440, WEEI, and on Facebook Live.
JMB Financial Advisors are proud to be a part of Holy Cross Athletics. JMB Financial Advisors, LLC, providers of intelligent capital for real estate investors, developers, and owners. JMB Financial Advisors can be found on the web at jmbfinancialadvisors.com. Or you can contact Steve Lovelett, Class of 78, the College of the Holy Cross, by email at lovelett@jmb.com.
Holy Cross students and Crusaders fans, when on Mount St. James enjoying games or on the road following your favorite Crusaders teams, make sure to quench your thirst and refuel with Pepsi, Gatorade, Mountain Dew Kickstart, and Starbucks products, all of which are available in the Luth Athletic Complex, all over campus on the College of the Holy Cross, and in stores everywhere. Pepsi, delicious, refreshing Pepsi, the proud official soft drink of Holy Cross Crusaders Athletics. Go Crusaders!
At Big Y, we believe our selection of products need to be as diverse as the customers who shop here. Whether you're a gluten-free guru in search of snacks, cereals, and recipes, or an organic aficionado looking for all-natural beverages, meats, and cleaners, we'll give you a variety of options that are second to none. So stop by Big Y to find out what we have in store for you and discover all the other ways we make our store your store each and every day. It's no big surprise. It's my Big Y. Hey.
The Hilton Garden Inn Worcester is the official hotel of Holy Cross Athletics. Located in the heart of downtown Worcester at 35 Major Taylor Boulevard, next to the DCU Center, Hilton Garden Inn allows you to sleep deep, work smart, eat well, stay fit, and treat yourself with satisfaction guaranteed. Whether you're looking to book a space for your next business meeting or are in town watching the Crusaders, book your stay at the Hilton Garden Inn Worcester. Call today 508-753-5700. Hilton Garden Inn Worcester, the official hotel of Holy Cross Athletics.
Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner, 4+ years experience, acute care certification.
Indeed has a huge pool of amazing candidates and screener tools that help you find your most qualified applicants.
Whoa, an entire shortlist of unicorns.
Now, get a $50 credit to give your first job posting premium placement at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, quality standards, and usage limits apply. Additional terms online.
Now, back to the Holy Cross Crusaders Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI.
And I want to tell you that you still love to shoot hoops as well as play on the company's softball team, so you want to stay strong and injury-free all year long. UMass Memorial Healthcare's orthopedic experts help you stay active and get you back in the game when injuries occur. The care you need with the convenience you deserve. Call 855-UMass-MD and learn more or schedule an appointment. UMass Memorial Healthcare is the official sports medicine provider of the Holy Cross Crusaders. We're back on the Holy Cross Coaches Show with Holy Cross head men's ice hockey coach David Berard and Jack Sirowick, a junior from Louisville, Kentucky. When I hear Louisville, Kentucky, I don't think hockey. Jack, is it a hockey hotbed?
No, it's not. I was fortunate enough growing up, we had the Florida Panthers affiliate in Louisville, the Florida Panthers, so I got to some games there. And in Lexington, we had the San Jose Sharks affiliate.
And
as well.
You went to Culver Academy in Indiana and played there, and then you played at Coquitlam in British Columbia Hockey League. What was the junior experience like?
Well, it was definitely a unique one. Coming out of prep school, you're trying to find your footing in junior hockey, then ultimately in NCAA Division I hockey, and you're put into, like Coach was saying, competition against bigger players, faster players. In prep school, it was either there was a big guy and he wasn't that fast, or fast guy.
Not he wasn't that big.
Right. Junior is a combination of both. So,
how does junior hockey compare to NCAA Division I hockey?
It's that amplified again. So now the faster guys are faster, bigger guys are bigger, stronger, and it's definitely players think the game. Players think the game a lot quicker at this level, and that was the biggest adjustment for me.
Four goals, four assists, 8 points thus far this year. Tell me about Jack's play for your hockey team.
He's been tremendous this year, and he's been a big part of what we do. You know, Jack is first couple of years, he played, you know, quite a few games, but, you know, played probably a limited role in our lineup. Didn't really produce offensively, but worked really hard and executed. And what he's added this year is he's added an offensive element. He scored his first collegiate goal. Now he has 4 goals and 4 assists. He's got 8 points. So he's playing even better than he played in his first 2 years away from the puck. But now he's starting to add that confidence with the puck. And he plays a lot of important situations. And the biggest thing with Jack is just the way he plays and how tough he is and the grit he plays with. It really spreads amongst our team, and it influences his teammates to play the same way. And if you want a guy that gives you all he has and you can count on consistency, he's one of the guys on our team that I rely on quite a bit in that regard.
Got your first goal in front of a packed Hart Center against nationally ranked. They were number 4 in the country then, UMass. What was that experience like?
That was pretty special. One I'm going to remember forever for sure. It just felt good getting on the board versus them and giving us a chance to win that game.
You talk about the difference between playing juniors and playing Division I hockey. Tell me about the process that resulted in you coming to Holy Cross.
Well, I believe it was the summer before my senior year going in at Culver Academy. I was up at the Beanpot Tournament, and Coach Berard approached me after a game. Coach Berard actually played with my uncle at Providence College.
Oh, no kidding.
So that was the connection there.
Jeff?
John Ferguson.
Yes, yeah. Oh.
John Ferguson.
There's a Jeff Sirowick.
Different spelling.
Different spelling?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so since then, we kept in contact, and then I think it was Coach who actually told me about the opportunity in Coquitlam. And then while there, I connected with Charlie Barrow. He was in Coquitlam as well, and I realized it was the place for me, the place where I was going to develop as a player in person and get the best coaching in the nation, in all of our opinions, because we get the development every day. Not every coach in the nation will care about you as much as our coaching staff does. And coming to the rink every day with that, it allows you to not only work to get better, but also work to get those around you better.
What did you see in Jack that made you want him to come to Holy Cross?
I think the same thing that he's doing for us now. Just when I watched him at Culver, just like a player who gives you an honest effort every shift, who does the little things right. I guess the word I would say that best exemplifies Jack is effort, because he just gives you everything he has. And, when I took over the program, you know, we wanted to bring in effort guys. We wanted to bring in culture guys. We wanted to bring in guys that had leadership ability. And when you watch Jack play, he does all those things. Like, he tries to do everything right. Not to say that he's the perfect player, but he tries to do everything right every single shift. He understands the importance of the details and the little things. And it's really a great quality to have, because as he's gotten better with his details, as he has gotten more confidence in his game, he's started to play more, and now he's having a bigger impact on our team offensively, defensively, and then certainly from a work ethic, leadership, culture perspective. I mean, he's had a huge impact on where our program is and where it's going in the future.
You've had 18 different goal scorers this year. 18 players have scored at least one goal. Johnny Coughlin and Mike Laffin share the lead, 6 goals. 4 players have scored 4. What sort of impact does having such a wide range of production throughout the lineup have on a team?
Well, it was like last weekend on Saturday night. I mean, we had 4 different goal scorers. And, you know, it's nice to have guys with 15, 20 goals. Like last year, Scott Pooley had 18 goals. And he's a guy, obviously, consistently he's going to score. You know, he had a string of almost a goal a game for the first 20 games of the year. But what's good about our team is we're starting to generate offense from a lot of different sources. And so then you're not relying on just one. And you're not as easy to play against if you have everyone contributing. And what we have right now is we really have 4 lines up front that all contribute offensively. And one night it might be one line, one night it might be another. And we've been able to put some groupings together that seem to work really well together. And it makes you a better team. And I think there was a stat right around Christmas that we're 5th in the country in defenseman scoring. So the number of percentage of goals that our defensemen score versus the number of goals we score as a team was fifth highest in the country. So our D, we try to get our D active offensively. We try to make them a fourth guy in the attack. We need them to add offensively. But now our forwards are starting to catch up, and we're starting to get contributions from a number of players. And I think it just makes you a better team and a harder team to play against.
Jack, tell me about the team. Tell me about your relationship with the other guys. You've got a group of guys that play together and a lot of guys involved in scoring. Tell me about the makeup of the team and how it all comes together.
Well, I think that the makeup of the scoring actually shows how we are as a team. Everyone puts in their individual effort in order to culminate to a greater whole. And that's what we preach, is everyone's working for each other day in, day out. And that's what we believe will get us to where we want to be at the end of the year. And in the locker room, if you go in there, everyone will believe that and say the same thing, that every day we strive to get better, and if we don't get better that day, we hold each other accountable, and the next day is going to be better.
You're a political science major. You're a junior. What do you hope to do once you graduate at Holy Cross?
Well, I definitely want to play as long as I can, whether in North America or Europe. And then after that, I'd love to stay in hockey in some regard or find someone else that suits my passions.
Well, we talked about the next 3 weeks coming up with weekend home games against Army, RIT, and Robert Morris, the importance of those games as you head to the playoffs. You want to be playing your best when you head to the Atlantic Hockey playoffs.
Yeah, no, that's been the goal all year. That was the goal day one that we started, that, you know, this is a process. It's the longest season in Division I sports. And
it never ends.
No, it never ends. And you start first week of October, and you could go until the first weekend of April. So, you know, the key is it's a long road and it's not a sprint. And, you know, we've had years where we've been really good the first half of the year and gotten off to great starts in the league, and then maybe had a lull in January, a little better in February, and then lost in the first round, and, you know, or the first round of our playoffs. And then, you know, this year maybe things are a little bit different. And, you know, through every adversity and through every struggle, I think you learn a lot about yourselves. And through the struggle that we had, wins and losses, you know, and the adversity that we had to deal with, I think we've become a stronger team. I think we've developed a toughness. That showing and winning on Saturdays when we lose on Fridays, that's something we haven't done in the past. And I think that's going to really serve us well as we go. And the best number one thing that I like about our team is our toughness and the guys approach every day. Like, they show up at the rink with a smile on their face and they want to get better every day, and that's a good sign for us over the next 5 weeks. And we're pushing to get better, and we're pushing to play our best hockey March 7th and 8th, and that's what we're, you know, that's what we're working hard every day to do.
Jack, what's it been like for a kid from Louisville who went to prep school in Indiana, played junior hockey in British Columbia, to end up on top of a hilltop in Worcester, Massachusetts at Holy Cross? What's the experience been like for you?
It's been everything I hoped for in a college hockey experience. Bouncing around from city to city playing and always having the goal in mind. This was the goal, to play Division I hockey. And that being said, everyone on our team continues to work towards a goal as a team and try to win a championship.
Well, wish you the best of luck the rest of the way, fellas.
Thanks.
Thank you for being here tonight. Let me remind everybody that this Saturday, February 2nd, will be Military Appreciation Night at the Hart Center. All active or retired military members will receive free admission to the men's ice hockey game against Army West Point at 7:05. For more information, it's all available at GoHolyCross.com. That'll do it for the Holy Cross Coaches Show for this night from the Crossroads in the Hogan Campus Center on top of Mount St. James. I'm Dick Lutz. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you a week from Tuesday. On the 12th of February is our next show at 7 p.m. We'll be back with the Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI.
You've been listening to the Crusaders Coaches Show, presented by JMB Financial Advisors, providing custom capital solutions. We hope you'll join us next time from the Hogan Campus Center at the College of the Holy Cross and listen live on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI. This has been an exclusive presentation of Crusader Sports Properties and Outfront Media Sports. Crusader Sports Properties is a division of Outfront Media Sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.